You know?
Well, he starts off by telling her how amazing it is, and she's never had it, and then he's like, yeah, I just had some yesterday.
Yeah, he's such a dick.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Barrett Sher from CinemaSins, music, video sins, and things. And today, stepping in as a special guest, we have Aaron Dicer.
Heidely ho, Cinerinos.
That's right, that's right. And we are going to be doing a mini-pod of The Hunt.
A hunty pod.
Yes. Yes. a movie that was supposed to come out in September, I believe, of last year.
Sounds right.
And I guess the main reason it got pushed back was because of the Parkland shooting.
Some sort of gun issue.
Yes. Remember, though, when this movie was about to come out, all I ever heard, I didn't even hear about that. I heard before it came out, I heard that people were upset that it was, you know, liberals chasing after deplorables and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And the politics are too supercharged, and Donald Trump hates this movie. And that's why it's going to not be, it's not going to be shown ever. I thought they had completely canceled.
I thought so too. Yeah.
And then March rolls around, and then suddenly they're like, eh, we're going to come out with this. I knew that was probably the way it was going to go down. I mean, the movie looked, it looked good, and it looked fun.
Yeah. Had you seen a trailer back in those days?
Yes.
I think I saw a bit of a trailer, but I didn't remember anything about this movie. Aside from the fact that Betty Gilpin was in it from GLOW, and that it was these, quote, liberals hunting the, quote, deplorables, or the right-wingers, the alt-right type of thing.
Yeah, very interesting. You have a combination of The Most Dangerous Game with The Last Supper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah. And The Last Supper didn't make nearly the waves this did, but The Last Supper was, did you ever see The Last Supper?
No.
It's got a huge cast in it.
Like there's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Cameron Diaz, Annabeth Gish, and then a lot of just like, people playing Republicans who are guests like Bill Paxton, is in there.
Hellboy, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, and there's you have Courtney B. Vance is in it. There's a ton of people in it. And the people around the people who it's a bunch of liberals who live together in this one house, and they start saying, you know, liberals, we never do anything. We don't like take any action and everything. The Republicans, they get in the office and they're instantly like doing stuff. And we are always like having what it's like. And so then it was, first off, it's sort of a joke. Well, let's like invite somebody over and try to at first they're just like, let's invite somebody over and see if we can change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they accidentally kill the person at the dinner. And then it becomes a whole thing where they're like, they kind of get a thirst for it, and they start bringing people over. If they can't change their mind, they poison their drink.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of what Last Supper's about.
Yes, it is.
The Hunt has got a little bit of a different premise.
Mm-hmm.
More of the Most Dangerous Game thing, like I said. So where do we want to start on this?
Jeez. I mean, this is a hard movie to talk without any spoilers whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, you know, even though we're still on the non-spoiler talk, go into this movie, if you haven't seen it yet, knowing as little as possible, because I think you'll be rewarded. I didn't know who the cast was outside of Betty Gilpin, and the cast is pitch perfect all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you stand on the political spectrum, this movie can probably speak to you.
And make fun of you.
And make fun of you, yes.
Yeah.
And make fun of the other side.
Yep.
And you can watch this as just a high-value entertainment and have a good time on the whole thing. It's a super violent, super satirical, very well-shot, very well-written movie that has a lot of different angles to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you guys see Battle Royale?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of just, you know, kind of that over-the-top, you know, gore, same concept, you know, obviously, but I think it's one of the, I was not expecting to like this. I figured I would go in, and anytime a movie is overly violent or whatever, it just kind of grosses me out. I'm not into gore. It's not my thing. But when you can nail the tone, especially of comic satire, it is, there's something that happens where there's a giddiness to it that it just works. It just works. You're just having fun. And, you know,
it's the same thing with John Wick, right? Like when John Wick is at its peak,
it's a
Looney Tunes thing, even though it's super gory.
Absolutely. 100% agree. So yeah, I was very surprised and pleased that I was having so much fun. So yeah.
So yeah, before we get into spoilers, what are you guys going to give this grade?
Maybe it's a recency effect, but, and I'll temper my excitement and give it an A-. I'm tempted to give it an A just because I had so much fun with it. But probably, there's probably some things that could be tweaked to be better. So I'll say A-, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote it down this morning when I was filling out my spreadsheet as an A-.
Yeah, that's the right grade, I think. A-. It's not quite the excellence of an A.
Yeah.
But that's nitpicky. We really enjoyed the, so yeah, we're A- across the board.
Although, no more movies come out this year, it'll probably be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You know what? Before we get into spoilers, Betty Gilpin's performance here is fantastic.
It's special,
it's so
right?
Good.
It's really special.
I mean, I don't know if it's Oscar worthy, but I really think that she, you know, the only thing I'd seen her in actually is Glow before this, and she's terrific in Glow. She's really, really good in Glow. But she taps into a very different side of her performing in this thing. And
there's
I
a
love
moment.
It.
Oh my goodness! There's a moment where she's talking about her job, her day-to-day job. She's like, "I don't often get an opportunity to," and she has this. Do you know the scene I'm talking about? The line I'm talking about? I don't want to give it away. Maybe even spoilers. I'll give it away. But she does something just with her face, her countenance, to express the rest of that line, and so perfect.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I gotta get a refresher on that.
Okay,
line.
Yeah,
so
we'll get you in spoilers.
We'll get on the spoilers and really start talking about this movie now.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
And Miss Basie is Kaiser Soze.
Miss Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
All right.
No spoilers.
Yeah. So what's the line?
Oh, yeah. So the guy asks her, is it the consultant? Is she talking to the consultant?
Yeah.
And the consultant's like, how are you doing this or something? I forget what he asked, but she's like, I'm a such and such in my day-to-day life. And yet inside, I'm kind of like, and she just kind of, she makes a face, and then she's like, and here I can be.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of.
There's little subtle things when, we'll get into the actual process, but when she's about to kick the guy out of the car, she utters this like almost resigned sigh, but it's also like. She gets in position and kicks his ass out the door.
She slowly gets in position. It's just like, yep, I'm doing this thing.
You don't even know. You're like, even if you kind of know that she's about to do something to that dude, you're like, what is she doing?
There's a resignation to everything she does. Yeah. Like, I guess this is the life I'm living right now. You know, it's just kind of like, it's
the
so
survivor
fun.
Spirit. She knows that she's in the shit. And she, God damn. I mean, this is basically a John Wick style. Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
Like a superhero.
She's a superhero. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So the story of this is that these people are taken to a place. They don't know where it is. They know that they were knocked out wherever they were. And they know that they woke up in this place that they are being told is Arkansas. Anyway, they wake up and they go out into this field and there's these boxes full of guns and all that. We have Emma Roberts in here. We have that dude
Hartley?
Justin
Hartley, is that his name? The guy from This Is Us?
This Is Us guy, yeah. He's in there. And a few others I don't quite recognize, but they all come in there and they find out they got guns and everything, so they start taking the guns, but then suddenly out of nowhere they're getting shot at. and then so everybody has to scatter and they have to
First few deaths are so perfectly played. They are like, we've seen so many movies. We've seen the surprise death done so many times. And this movie got me at least 3 times in the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it got me. It got me. Movies don't get me like that often. But this movie got me. And I think it's just because we are trained. They're using our own cinema training against us, right? Like, the movie has this way of using, okay, so who's going to be Betty Gilpin's number? We know Betty Gilpin is the hero. We know that, you know, from the beginning, whatever, when we see her making a magnet with a leaf and a needle. What was it? Anthony Hopkins was in a movie where they did...
The Edge.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, we know that, you know, she's the hero. But so we're wondering, okay, who's her number? Who else are we going to have along this journey as the team that's going to come with her or whatever? It's like, oh, this girl, we were introduced to her here. You know, we've been given the introduction to her. So she's going to be the one. Boom, her face gets blown off. Right as the guy from This Is Us is, you know, trying to help her. Like, oh, it was him.
Yeah.
It was the guy from This Is Us. And then he saves somebody and then steps on a mine and gets blown to pieces.
He saves somebody who has fallen into a pit of spikes. She's got two spikes running right through her, and he pulls her out. And then he's like, all right, we got to go. And they start walking towards the edge and hit them. Then the mine happens. And then they get blown to bits. And then somebody else comes along to the pit of spikes. And now it's that same woman who was
back in the pit
with a spike through her body. Only this time she's in half.
And that's Ike Barinholtz, who now you think.
Yeah.
Well, this has got to be.
He's a name. Yeah, I've seen Ike Barinholtz. He's definitely the next guy that we're... And he finds his way to a gas station, and it's run by these two older people who we're not quite sure they're in on it yet or whatever, but he goes in and he wants to make a phone call. One of the weirdest things about this movie, though, is when he makes that 911 phone call, and he's like, what they're asking for the address. He doesn't just ask the people in the store
right.
what the address is.
Yeah,
he just says, just trace the call.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, trace the call, that's a good idea or whatever. Of course, the whoever's on 911 is on it and everything. Is there more people that show? There's other people with him.
There's 3 of them, I think, at that
all
moment.
That
and one of them's poisoned with some donuts.
One of them eats a poisoned donut. And then he gets, I guess he gets blown away.
Yeah, they shoot him with a shotgun, I think.
Right. And so, like, these two people running the store are, like, these ultra-liberal people. Like, just, like, they get into arguments about, like, what's proper to say. And
yeah, they get in a, what's the gun? Is it the Second Amendment? Is that the right to bear? I can't remember. I don't know my amendments very well, nor can I say amendment very well, apparently. So they have this... This is one of the gifts of this movie, is the dialogue about politics, because it's just over the top enough that you realize how ridiculous we sound sometimes when we're discussing these things. And it's both ways it's ridiculous. And so it's, I really appreciated that, because that's where they turn in that gas station, is the Second Amendment conversation, you know, where they're like, oh, but if they have guns, you know, then, you know, they're just doing what they have the right to do, right?
Yeah. And Ike Barinholtz is like, what the fuck are you talking about? and then I think they poison them too. They throw in some sort of gas and they put the gas.
Yeah, there's a gas. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they blow away Ike Barinholtz, but they definitely like throw in some gas and they get gassed or whatever. And they put them in another room. That's when Betty Gilpin shows up. And
the price of cigarettes in Arkansas. That's where I think I knew I was going to be in love with this movie.
This part, I don't know if it's because actors are never allowed to do stuff like this, but this line reading is the part. Yeah, this is the part that got me into the movie.
Yeah.
She asks for cigarettes and it's like $10 or something, or maybe less. I don't remember. She puts a $10 bill down with like some change. And so like, she, she ends up turning the tables on the woman, the Amy Madigan, who plays known from I think Field of Dreams, was the mom in Field of Dreams. Turns the tables on her, like punches her or something like that, goes over, gets her gun, and goes, "All right, the price of cigarettes in Arkansas, $6. You done fucked up." and her face is just filled.
Yeah, she's got rage.
Just and then so she goes out, and then they start sending drones to go find them. Ethan Suplee comes in, like blows away the drone, and then she's like, "You shouldn't have done that." And he's like, "Why?" He's like, "Because now they know where the drone is and where that it got shot down, and they're going to come over here and find us and everything." And you start realizing that she is super smart.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that they're saying about her don't quite add up.
She finds the tripwire on the vehicle before opening the door. Like, she is very aware. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's and then somebody comes to save them. That there's a whole train sequence where one of the guys who's in on it, like, embeds himself with a bunch of immigrants.
It's so funny because that's still Ethan, right? In that Suplee in that moment, yeah. And he's like, "You did hear him say that, right?" Like when he all of a sudden starts talking regular,
yeah, because he's a big podcaster who's claiming that all the tragedies of the world have crisis actors,
and, yeah, babies can be crisis actors,
The military shows up and now they say that they're Americans, so they get to a camp, and then the vice president's like nephew or the president's nephew shows up, and they're like, "Oh, we're saved," or whatever. And as they get in that, they're in the car talking to the president's nephew. That's where she starts. Betty Gilpin's like, "Oh yeah, this guy's totally not on the level." And there's that and that kick. It's so great.
You don't really know what's going on with this woman, other than that she's a badass, up until really three quarters of the way to the final act,
the climax. Right? Yeah.
So you're not necessarily aware what she's capable of, but she goes in, man, goes into that bunker where Glenn Howerton plays a fantastic asshole. All the liberals are fucking assholes in this movie.
Yes.
All of the alt-right people are pretty much fucking assholes. There are some, like the two stars that get blown away at the beginning, that we don't even know if they're complete assholes.
Right.
But you know, we're kind of giving it.
Well, we see their dossiers at one point. So we get an idea. Like, one of them had that the Nazi march photo.
Oh,
that's
the famous.
You know, he's in the famous Nazi. And one of them had like a big game. You know, he's out hunting.
The guy who the Jimmy John's guy.
Right. It's a play on that. Yeah. So yeah, we kind of get an idea of why they're there.
Yeah. Emma Roberts. I don't remember seeing what her picture was, but she does say at one point that when everybody's distributing guns, she's like, "That's not me." That's so. I'm also wondering if maybe she was like a miscast in this not miscast in the movie, but miscast in the Most Dangerous Game thing.
Yeah, it's been known to happen.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the opening kill where she sticks her heel through the guy's eyeball and pulls out his eyeball with her the heel of her shoe.
This is where the ads, by the way, screwed up. They show Hillary Swank, and I'm pretty sure that
the ads show Hillary Swank because the movie makes a big deal about not showing her until the last 20 minutes.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. The movie makes a big deal about not showing who it is the entire time, and I'm like, this is annoying because I've seen the commercials I've seen Hillary Swank in the commercials, and they've gotten all the way to the point where she's being interviewed in that, and it's like it's that flashback or whatever. I'm sitting there just going, it's Hillary Swank. So what are they doing?
And I didn't understand that part of it either because I was waiting for some big reveal. And I guess it's just that it's Hillary Swank and that's the big reveal. But I was like, is it going to be Betty Gilpin again? Like, is it like a twin sister or something? Like, so maybe that's another way the movie's using our conditioning against us. I don't know. But I was just like, oh, it's like,
this is a very talented actress.
I was like, oh, it's Hillary Swank. Cool.
Good for her. Yeah.
It goes like this until they finally get back to where the liberals are, and they're like, you know, that's their hideout basically, and they've sort of turned the tables on them and everything. They have this I don't know if the whole animal farm thing, if they were really trying to go big with that Animal Farm reference that they were throwing in there.
I mean, it's there, but it's they don't really play with it a lot.
Not much.
It's there for the end. It's there for the final dialogue, I think.
Yeah, she makes a good point about the Snowball character in the book and everything, but they don't really make if they're trying to make an Animal Farm sort of parallel, I don't think the movie does a very good job of that.
I wonder if there is something there. I mean, there's definitely a rabbit theme there, right? Because she's also got the tortoise and the hare story, which is so great.
Yes,
that is another Betty Gilpin masterpiece in this movie, is her telling that tortoise and the hare story in only the way that that character would tell that story, or that character's mom told them that story or whatever. Mom told you that?
But yeah, they sort of come back and off all of those people, and then that leaves Hillary Swank, and Betty Gilpin's the only one left too. I can't remember what happens to the other dude. Does he get?
Well, she shoots him because Gary.
That's right.
Because he was a double agent. I don't know.
Don.
What is it?
Don is
Don.
Yeah,
Don. Yeah, Don. And she even asked. She said, "Was Don, you know, you or not?" But she's like, you can tell she's not sure. Because she's like, just drop the, if you drop the gun, I'll know, you know, and he doesn't drop the gun, so she kills him. But does the movie ever make clear if he was with
him?
He's
not on the wall of the
dinosaur. I didn't see him there either, so, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, was he at the meeting that they show in the flashback?
No, he wasn't at the meeting either.
So that's, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's really like, we have no idea.
Right. It's a little ambiguous, but yeah, it may be supposed to be.
Yeah, leading up to this big fight with Betty Gilpin and Hillary Swank, they had a consultant in there who said, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything to her because she's been training for the last 8 months, which sounds pretty laughable considering what we have seen Betty Gilpin do.
But of course, the consultant doesn't know all that necessarily.
No. I'm not saying the consultant's wrong for saying that. I'm just saying that the movie's wrong for later making it into a big fight at the end where Betty Gilpin should be just wailing on her at this point, but they make it into this big, huge, like it's an even fight for a while.
It's such a great fight.
It is.
there's comic elements. There's a great use of space. You know where everything is, where they're fighting. I mentioned that they've got like some upgrade style, like framing for the camera, where the camera follows the fall of the person, and they are evenly matched in this context. It's just so perfectly executed. It's like a ballet.
The battle for the grilled cheese. That's what I would call that.
It's funny too, man. I'm glad they addressed this in the movie because there's always these scenes. Don't hate them. I just think they're stupid when the main villain tells these long stories to get to their point or whatever. And she says, like, you know, most people use this kind of cheese for a grilled cheese, but I use this. It's way better, and so on. And so later on, like when Betty Gilpin, they're like taking a break or whatever, Betty Gilpin's like, I didn't want to slow down your big grilled cheese story or anything.
And it's does a nice little turn on this whole thing. Not only did she fuck up that she got the wrong person, but also that this thing didn't exist until it existed on social media.
Yeah, and I love this too.
I did too.
I think it's the main point of the movie. I think if the satire is saying one thing overall, I think it's that we're creating our own mess by continuing to see each other as, you know, mortal enemies instead of, you know, having conversations with each other or whatever. Now that's me adding something underneath the satire, but I think that is kind of what that last, you know, point that it's making.
I think you're absolutely right. The idea that, you know, that these people came up with this outlandish story about, this woman invites people, they call it Mannergate. This woman invites people who voted for Trump over to her house, and they kill them. It's so true. It's absolutely the truth, and they believe that, and they tell everybody else, and all these other people get infected by that lie. But then you do, as the liberals in this situation, you do the absolutely wrong thing.
You make it real.
Which is make it real.
That's what Betty Gilpin, she's like, well, you are doing this.
You get the sense that she gets it.
Yeah.
She gets what she's saying, but that you did it, you are doing this now.
You made us do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was what I kept thinking the whole time. They must have gotten the wrong person this whole time, because this person is just too smart to write a stupid comment on a video or whatever it was that they got her for.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was also funny that they decided to limit it to 12 because of some stupid ass reason, and they wanted to have more people of color because they're liberals.
And then as soon as that guy comes up, they're like, oh,
they're like flashing through all these like white people, like yeah, and this black guy shows up, and they're like, oh no.
Well, and then this movie is funny. It really is funny. That just reminded me of the couple in the gas station having the conversation about race, where she's like, "You can't say black; it's African American." She's like, "We can say black again," you know?
And yeah, it was like, on NPR.
It was on NPR. I heard it on NPR.
And she's like, "How many? Who runs NPR? White people?" And he's like, "God, we're the worst."
So many great lines. You were talking about Manor Gate. It made me think of the line that we've already ruined water and pizza. What is Gate going to ruin next?
So this movie's great. It's a very brisk, like 80 something minutes. I think everybody of all political spectrums can enjoy this.
Again, it's going to make fun of the people that you disagree with, and it's going to make fun of you too. Like it is that kind of satire. So.
Yeah. And you have some lessons learned in there, I think, too. And that's in this kind of the silly, you know, hunting, very violent movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has more to say about stuff than some of the movies that actually purport to be that kind of thing. But anything else to say about this?
No. I just keep thinking of funny moments, but that whole saving the champagne during the fight.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Even her taking the airplane at the end. Just the way that was handled was so funny. And just like, you guys don't mind, taking me home, or no. You're good.
Oh, well, Glenn Howerton made me laugh a bunch at the beginning too, because there's the whole scene where the dude wakes up early. And they have to kill him because
they don't
want anybody to know that they were on a plane and all that. But Howerton is talking to this flight attendant, and he keeps like throwing out these things just so that he can show his knowledge and everything. And he's like, oh, is that the champagne from 18 blah, blah, blah? That was only five of them ever recovered and everything. And she goes, no, it's just your regular champagne. It probably doesn't taste very good either, you know. And he's like, and there's a point where she asks if he wants caviar, and he goes, oh yeah, caviar. Oh, I had that yesterday.
You know. Well, he starts off by telling her how amazing it is, and she's never had it. And then he's like, yeah, I just had some yesterday.
He's such a dick. All right. Well, what did you guys think about this movie? I'm hoping a lot of people watch this, even though there is all this coronavirus scare.
It's going to be the only new movie to see for a while.
Yeah. Well, that and Bloodshot. Yeah, Bloodshot's definitely going to, be out there. But anyway, but what did you think about this? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're also on SoundCloud. We're on Discord. If you want to get on Discord, you can go on the right side of our Reddit page and get a link, or you can go to the Facebook page and private message me, and I'll give you a link there. Aaron, where can people find you?
I'm on the Behind the Sins podcast. If you want to check out that, we go behind the scenes of Behind the Sins every week with myself, Jonathan Watkins, and Danae Hughes. You can find out all my movie stuff at the website siftpop.com. That's siftpop with a T.
Nice.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkins and Barrett Sher and Aaron Dicer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.